the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Herod the king set hands on certain members of the church to persecute them. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also during the days of the unleavened bread. After arresting him, he cast him into prison, committing the custody of him to four guards of soldiers, four in each guard, intending to bring him forth to the people after the Passover. So Peter was being kept in the prison, but prayer was being made to God for him by the church without ceasing. Now when Herod was about to bring him forth that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and outside the door sentries guarded the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and a light shone in the room, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains dropped from his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak about you and follow me." And he followed him without knowing that what was being done by an angel was real, for he thought he was having a vision. And they passed through the first and second guard, and they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, and this opened to them on its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and straightway the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the power of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus, having come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, began to ask his disciples, saying, "Who do men say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. One of the greatest saints of the church is Saint John Bosco. He is the founder of the Salesian Order, which is the second largest order in the church. But probably what he is best known for are his dreams. Now, as Catholics, we're not supposed to believe in dreams, but St. John Bosco was given the gift of prophecy, and this prophecy would manifest itself in dreams. So he was a special case, and he struggled with actually believing his dreams in the beginning. But through prudent discussions with his spiritual director, he came to realize that these are prophecies. And he would often share them with the boys at the oratory at his school there, and the priests also. And he would often have dreams about who was, if someone was going to die, he would know who was going to die, and would pray specially for that boy so that he would have a holy death. And there are many dreams that we have of his. But probably the most famous dream is the dream of the two pillars. And he narrated this in May of 1862. And he narrated it twice. And there were many people present, many of the boys and a number of priests. And so there are a number of recollections of this dream. So there are a couple different versions. They all match. Some of them have a couple details that others don't. And he narrated this to the boys as like a bedtime story. He used to get them together and he would kind of tell them, "In a few days, if you're good, I'll tell you one of my dreams." And so he narrated this to them. And he said, "Imagine yourself on a cliff, on a precipice, overlooking a vast sea. And to the one side, there are a number of ships arrayed in battle. for battle. They have beaked prows. The front of the ship is reinforced to ram other ships, to destroy them. Their guns are loaded and ready, their cannons. They have books and pamphlets ready for battle. And they're in formation, and they're closing in on another ship. Now imagine, he says, over here, a majestic ship with a captain in white, who sees the coming battle. But not only that, the weather is changing, the wind is picking up, and a storm is about to break out. And he says, and this captain calls together his lieutenants for a meeting. And while they are meeting, the battle occurs. The enemy ships attack, and the captains go back to their respective place. The storm breaks out. And he says, off in the distance, there is rising up out of the ocean two pillars, the pillars of victory. On top of one is a statue of Our Lady, or an image of Our Lady. And on top of the other is a host. The other one is larger, more sturdy, and it's a host. Our Lord and Our Lady, our Lord truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. And he says, from these columns, there are chains and hooks, a safe harbor for the ship to pull up to. And he says, the captain, during the battle, begins to plot a course for the columns. And the battle rages, the enemy fires books, cannons, trying to destroy the ship. And he says, mostly, the attacks don't have any success, but every now and then, a gash will open up into the side of the main ship, the majestic ship. And it will look like it is about to founder, about to sink. But there's a breeze from the two columns, and it blows and it heals the damage to the ship. And so the majestic ship, captained by the Pope, continues. And then he continues, after a while, there's a lull in the storm. The Pope calls together his captains again to plot the strategy, and they go back to their respective places. And then he says, the battle breaks out and the storm rages even more ferociously. The enemies now are desperate. They are attacking with everything they have. And he says, they even resort to hand-to-hand combat. And yet, the captain is on the deck. He says, he's straining with all his might to guide the ship to the pillars. He says, in the midst of the battle, the Pope, the man in white, is struck by shrapnel, and he falls. But then he is helped back up and continues to captain the ship. Then he finally dies. And when he dies, there's a cry of joy through the enemy ship. So just a couple of the versions have this part, that there's a cry of joy, and they say, now let us elect one of our own. But then he goes on and says, but no sooner does the news of the Pope's death go out than the news of his successor is elected. And the new Pope then stands at the helm and strains with all his might, crashing through the attacking forces. And then he finally reaches the pillars, where the ship then chains up. And he says, and then something interesting happens. At that moment, the enemy ships begin to sink. They begin to founder. And some of the flotilla that was with the majestic ship then begins to join the great ship at the pillars, pulling up. Others, some quickly, others wait till the enemy ships are completely under the water before pulling up. And then he says, and then there's a great calm. The storm has ended, the waves have ended, and there's a great calm over the sea. And then he adds something. He says, and this is 1862, He says, the persecutions of the church are nothing compared to the persecutions that will occur in the future. And then he ends. Now for us, prophecy, of course, is always given to strengthen us. It's not given so that we can know the future, but to know that this has been foreseen and to strengthen our faith. Now I will say here, I believe this is truly prophetic. And I believe that the times we live in, I think anyone, everyone has to admit, the church is under grave persecution. And we can look at this as something to strengthen our faith, that the Holy Father, we can think about it, there are three people in this vision, Our Lady, Our Lord, and also the Holy Father, the successor to St. Peter. St. Peter is the founder of the Roman Church, the Latin Church. And as our Lord says in the readings, you are Peter and the rock upon which I will build my church. He's the rock. And the successor of St. Peter is that rock. He's guaranteed infallibility on issues of faith and morals. There's an old Latin saying, ubi Petras, ibi Ecclesiae. Where there is Peter, there is the church. And during the persecutions of the church, sometimes people get confused. You know, the image of St. John Bosco, the waves and the storm, and he says, the enemy resorts to hand-to-hand combat. And we can imagine this. How do we have hand-to-hand combat in a naval battle? Is that they must be coming up over the sides of the ship in order to fight, in order to try to take it over. There's hand-to-hand combat on the bark of St. Peter. The battle is engaged. Now, what happens sometimes is when people see the persecutions of the church, they begin to lose faith. Remember the Holy Father, the church is guaranteed infallibility on issues of faith and morals. And that's a very tight definition. Sometimes people get scandalized. Remember, the Holy Father is not guaranteed impeccability. That is, there's no guarantee that he never commits a sin. There is no guarantee. And I promise you, the Holy Father goes to confession. But also, he's not guaranteed infallible wisdom either. He can make a false decision, make a wrong decision, make an imprudent decision. This happens, can happen without a problem, without somehow undermining his infallibility. You know, just like a general in a battle, doing the best he can, he might make a wrong decision, but ultimately his goal is to win that battle. So it is with the Holy Father, is that he may make an imprudent decision, but ultimately his goal is victory. And so sometimes people, in the midst of the battle, seeing the hand-to-hand combat, if we use the imagery, they lose their orientation. They lose focus. And they begin to say, this cannot be the church. And they leave. Going over the side, so to speak, getting in a rowboat, manning the lifeboats. This can't be. Or others, even worse, get disoriented and maybe even begin to fight against the Holy Father. But we must remain faithful. Our Lord says, the gates of hell will not prevail against you, Peter, you are the rock. And so even though these grave persecutions are occurring, and there are many who want to sink our glorious church, they will not succeed. Ultimately, we don't know when. We don't know when. Ultimately, though, the persecution will end. It will end. And the church will still remain as glorious as ever, probably more glorious than it ever was before. And so, All visions and prophecies are given to us to strengthen our faith. So we should not lose faith in the midst of the persecutions. We should remember this. Our Lord knows what's going on. He knows the trials and the battle at hand. We're fighting now. The rosary in one hand, a sword in the other, hand-to-hand combat. But let us not lose faith. And remember that this has been foreseen. Our Lord knows what's going on. As St. John Bosco said, the persecutions that the church has seen up to this point is nothing compared to those in the future. And so let us remain faithful. Let us remain fighting until the ultimate victory is given. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.